Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This coming week will be an important one for our cousins across the Tasman in New Zealand. They'll be marking the first anniversary of the devastating Christchurch earthquake a year ago on Wednesday. 185 people lost their lives in the magnitude 6.3 quake, more than half of them in just one building, the home of Canterbury TV. It was the third costliest earthquake in world history, between $20 and $30 billion. The Salvation Army has played the most brilliant role, offering care and compassion, and we'll touch base with them for an update in just a moment. But right now, we're going to talk to a lady with a remarkable story of survival. Elsa Wright was sitting in her car in the city when a concrete wall collapsed around her. The car was squashed to about 1 meter in height, and she survived to tell the tale. We spoke to her on Open House at the time, and a year on, we wondered how she's faring. Elsa, welcome back to Open House.
Thank you, Leigh. It's nice to be back.
Wonderful to have you back.
Yeah.
How you been travelling this last year?
It's been a year of ups and downs. Obviously, each time we've had large aftershocks, there's been a lot of chaos and challenging emotions that have come up for a lot of people. And I guess the repercussions have gone on a lot further than some of us expected.
How would you describe those? What range of repercussions?
Well, we lived in the eastern suburbs, so every time we have a large earthquake, anything over five, the liquefaction comes back and there's further damage to your house, and just the general disruption of, I guess, it's mostly emotional, just remembering the first really bad earthquakes and just the unsettled feeling that people get when they continue and having to, yeah, just change locations and check in with all your family. It gets quite tiring.
I'm sure. People often speak about the degree of stress that people are under with these continual aftershocks.
Yes.
For with each one, you don't know whether this will be another big one or not.
That's exactly right. And if you're out in a public place and you're with just people that aren't coping, it makes it a lot more upsetting as well.
Take me into your mind. What do you think when yet another one of those starts?
You think, is this going to be another big one? And especially if you're not in your home environment. I was in a supermarket for one of the large aftershocks, and you just immediately think, where am I going to go to be safe? And everyone gets hysterical. The roads get jam-packed straight away, and cell phone coverage goes down because everybody's trying to check in to see that everybody's okay. And it's not knowing where the earthquake was centred, whether you might be on the other side of town and it could be a lot worse somewhere and all the sirens go. And, yeah, it's just really traumatic at the time until you kind of hear that there's no loss of life and that sort of thing.
Yes. So there's no sense in which you get used to it?
I don't think so, no.
Have you ever thought of leaving Christchurch over the last year?
Yes, definitely. Yes. Definitely thought of that. But in the end, our church family's here and we have relatives, and I guess especially having a house that we can't live in and we're waiting for the insurance to be settled, it's not that easy to just pack up and go somewhere else. And yeah, I think some people that have left have found it really hard that they're in their new location, people don't really understand what they're going through.
Yes.
So,
Elsa, for those who didn't catch your story at the time, can you take us through what happened from the moment that quake struck? Where were you?
Sure. I just parked my car at our church where I work, and there was a very violent earthquake, and I was parked under a two-storey concrete tilt slab wall, and as the quake struck, I just saw three massive cracks go down the wall, and I realised it was going to come down, so I turned on my car and tried to get in reverse, because the ground was moving so much I didn't think I'd be able to run. And then I think it stalled. And, the last thing I remember was just the wall crushing in through the front windscreen.
To a metre in height.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of room at the end of it.
Were you conscious when it was squashed?
I remember just before it hit and then hearing all the metal crunching and the glass and I was pretty sure I was dying at that point. And, and then just very surprised to sort of realise I was still alive, but I couldn't remember where I was or what day it was or anything like that.
So you did remain conscious?
Yes. Yeah.
How did you get out?
Well, unfortunately, I was at work, and so people heard me screaming, because I think if I'd been somewhere else, no one would have come looking. And then, fortunately, my husband was just working up the road, and when he couldn't get hold of me, he came straight to church, and he was very assertive and aggressive at getting an action plan in place, because obviously the lines were jammed for emergency services. So he got a forklift, and they managed to kind of pull me out through the tiniest space possible.
How long did that take?
It was about 50 minutes in the end, just under an hour.
And you're laying there?
Yes.
Thinking what?
I was just thinking, I can't see how I'm going to get out of this spot. My legs were pinned by the steering wheel, and I could tell by, I was sort of, my face was out sort of the back door. I was wedged looking outwards, and I could see by the looks on people's faces that they were very concerned. They just kept asking, you know, could I feel my legs? Where did it hurt? I guess hearing other people's stories where they were trapped for 24 hours or so, that must have been extremely frightening.
What injuries did you suffer in the end?
I was very, very fortunate. I think if my lungs had been crushed more than a centimetre, I would have been in a really bad space. But I just had crush injuries, moderate crush injuries to my lungs, and lost a big chunk of hair and scratches and bruises all over my face, and then just, a bit of bruising and damage on my legs.
And how long did it take to recover, Elsa?
Well, I've had ongoing back problems, so I've been seeing a medical professional all of last year, and then I've just given birth to our little baby, so not quite sure how much was pregnancy pain and how much is the old injury.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
What a great year after that.
That's the one, yeah, something nice to come out of it.
Yeah. You've mentioned your church a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Have you reflected on what God was doing that day?
Yeah, that's such a tricky one, because obviously there's nothing special about me that I was saved when so many other people and other Christians were killed in the earthquake. So I don't know if I'll ever get to the bottom of that one. I think my husband took it really hard, that he sort of assumed that being a Christian protected you from bad things happening. And, I don't think I ever thought that, but to come out of that situation where I really should have died, it's definitely, because there's a lot to be thankful for, but I guess at times I felt a bit of a responsibility to sort of do something great with my life or really make the most of the second chance, I guess.
Yes. Have there been ways in which you've thought that you need to do that, or that you're compelled to do that, do something with that second chance?
Yeah, I think long term there might be more opportunities. I've been very fortunate to have opportunities to speak to the media, like, for example, this show, and also I was on a couple of the news programs here, and, you know, people say now and then, you know, your story really touched us, or what a miracle. And I had one man in China who said he showed the clip to one of his acquaintances, and they became a Christian through it. So I think that God can use it, and he will use it. But this last year I haven't been in a physical or emotional place to really get out there and do anything highly energetic.
No.
Yeah.
And you've got your hands full at the moment
with
a new buff. How delightful.
Yeah.
I said before that we'd be talking in just a tick with the Salvation Army. How's your church community been for those who've gone through this kind of terrible trauma in broader Christchurch?
Yeah, well, we were really fortunate that we had the opportunity to work with the police in the eastern suburbs and open a distribution centre. And probably very similar to some of the things that Salvation Army were doing across town, but God was amazing in just providing a whole bunch of free food, and they basically opened a free supermarket for about 2 weeks after the earthquake for all the people that were blocked off from supermarkets and petrol stations and that sort of thing. And we've been able to go into the community and deliver care packs throughout the year. And I do want to say a huge thank you to people in Australia, because working in the church, we've seen some big checks come in from various churches, and also some lovely ladies, Jan McFadden, I think. She has organised quilts for mums and had them sewn and sent over to give out to people. So we've felt really loved by the wider community.
It's wonderful
in Australasia. Yeah, very thankful for that.
Elsa, the City of Christchurch, you've been observing over this last year. How would you say the people and the city have been making it through?
I think there's been a lot of good to come out of the circumstances. So sharing of buildings, sharing of resources, people being very innovative and accommodating of having to move and set up in different spots. But I think, it's really hard that it's so slow going for a lot of homeowners and business owners, and even insurance premiums have just skyrocketed for those that are staying.
While you've thought of leaving, do you still think you'll leave or stay?
That's hard to say at the moment, because having a baby definitely changes things. It's not just us to look after, and every time I go to the mall, I'm looking for things that would fall down or hazards. But we'll just see. It'd be nice if the next year was a bit more settled.
Yeah. So what will be going through your mind on Wednesday as these commemorations and this anniversary unfolds?
I'm sure I'll cry a lot. We're going to spend the day with close family and friends, so just very thankful for what we have, and standing beside those that lost a lot more than we did, I guess.
Elsa, it's wonderful to talk with you. Thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House, and congratulations on the birth again. That's great
news.
Thank
you so much.
Another 32 major aftershocks and thousands of others have since hit Christchurch, the latest just on the 15th of January this year. 100,000 homes and 3,000 city buildings have been affected. The heroes of the earthquake will receive a rare bravery award this week, along with a memorial service on Wednesday. And also joining us is one of those many heroes, Major Robert Ross, bringing the love of God very practically to the people of Christchurch through the Salvation Army. Rob, welcome back to Open House.
Thank you for having me back.
Thank you. It's hardly surprising, but the process of recovery has been slow. Can you update us on where things are at the moment, 1 year on?
Yes, things are still considerably slow. Christchurch isn't a place that you would easily recognise now as you look at it and you look and see the changes that have taken place just in these last months, where buildings have come down, and particularly in the inner city, and standing on a corner in the inner city, you have to stand there for a few moments to work out just about where you are in the city.
Wow.
But out in the suburbs is where still the greatest amount of devastation is, where today and the days that have gone, houses are being demolished, where people have been taken out of their houses and moved on because those houses have become red zoned, and a great deal of difficulty for families.
Yes. How long are they saying this process will go on for?
Well, it's kind of very slow, and it's unknown. All of these aftershocks always cause an extra burden on all that as well, because you can't start rebuilding, you can't start moving forward because you're still unsure about what's happening. And then, of course, around Christmas time, we had another quite major shake in Christchurch, which brought back again the liquefaction, which brings the devastation and brings it all back into people's minds.
Especially the psychology of it. I can't imagine what it's like living with that.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard, and people are very stressed, and they're looking for something that is going to, something they can hold on to. And I suppose for us within the Salvation Army and those who have been helping us in this and other groups that are working there, being able to take to them just the message of the love of God has really helped. And to be able to sit down and have a prayer with people, it's something that they can hold on to and feel is quite tangible in a place where everything else seems to be on hold. They still have people who are coming in and willing to share in that grief with them.
And receiving that perhaps more than they would in ordinary kind of good times, I guess.
Yeah, it's opened up a whole new opportunity for sharing with others, for supporting one another, and it has opened, you can see that the whole community has come together, and community being the whole of the whole of New Zealand, and many people from overseas just supporting these people there, and the feeling of that oneness. I was out at an event last night where a young man, Sam Johnson, who was the head of the student army that moved in and shifted some of the liquefaction from people's houses. He was awarded last night at a function the Young New Zealander of the Year. And the passion that that young man had for just getting in and helping out, and really without a plan, he said, but just bringing people together. And that's what was done.
So lots of stuff that's been both difficult and inspiring. How hard has it been for you watching this whole process unfold over the last year?
Well, I suppose it's been quite difficult because I'm a South Islander. My wife comes from Christchurch. My wife has family in Christchurch, and I know Christchurch. It was the it was the place where I met my wife. It was there were places that I took her when we were very young that have been there. We have friends there, and so just thinking about all of those things and just also feeling the grief of the people who were there. I've been fortunate enough to be, you know, recalled back to my position here in Wellington, and but we have got a great team down there working, and they're working very hard and doing some great stuff. And it's just sometimes you want to go and just be involved in it, but you've got to just continue to do your part in it, I suppose.
Yes. Can you take us through what's going to be happening around Christchurch through this week for the anniversary?
Well, there is going to be a number of different kinds of events happening in different ways, and just an encouraging things in the community for people. And then there'll be the major memorial service to be held in Christchurch. And we'll be there with the team and with the care vans and with bits and pieces of practical help for those who will be there. It'll be a difficult time for many as they remember and as they think about the loss. Many of those people in Christchurch, like us, it's actually a city of two cities. There are those who are able to get on with living, and their homes are fine, and they've fixed up the fence that fell over and they've just moved on. And on the other side, and particularly in the lower socioeconomic area of Christchurch, there is still all this devastation. So for some, there are still no answers. There are still people wondering what's going to happen with their home. And so for them, this is going to be a difficult time. It is going to be a time when people will think back on what's happening and what's happened, and the loss of family and the loss of people that they love. And it's a small, whilst it's a city, it's still a small community where everyone is affected by what's happening.
Yes. I mentioned before the Heroes of the Earthquake will be presented with this Royal Human Society of New Zealand Gold Medal. Last time it was awarded was for a terrible ferry disaster back in 1968, I think, some 50 people died. What will this mean for those people who will be the recipients of that?
I think this will be, it's really important to recognise those who were the real heroes of this time, who really went out of their way to help others, and it's a recognition, and I think they'll be it's rightful that they are very proud of what they've done, but I think it'll be humbling for many people as well.
What were the kinds of things that they did, these people, on the day?
There's a whole variety of things that people, just being there and getting other people out of difficult situations, helping out where they could, risking themselves and just really all the kinds of things that happened. Not unlike this young man last night who called his friends together using Facebook and other social media things and got a team together and just went out and helped. Those are the heroes of the people. Those who from the fire service and from St John's Ambulance and all of those places that worked tirelessly through this, really just didn't give up.
Like many of the salvos, I have to say, and I'm sure there have been a lot of people in Christchurch saying, thank God for the salvos yet again. Why do you do what you do, and what has kept you going through the magnitude of this last year?
Well, always why we do what we do is because of our faith. It's because of what we believe. It's because of the teachings that we find in God's Word. It's because of the compassion. Our mission is the caring for people. It's the reforming of society. It's the transforming of lives. And in all of that encapsulated is why we turned up in Christchurch. It's why we do what we do, and it's what holds us together. It's what enables us to do it. We go and do this very much in God's strength, not on our own. This is the first major disaster that I've had anything to do with in my lifetime. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom, has helped to get me through all that had to happen and all that had to be done, and has enabled me to do that, and I just have had the privilege of being part of that.
What a good work. Thank God for the salvos. Rob Ross, thank you so much. I'm sure the thoughts and prayers of many of your cousins across the Tasman are with you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us on Open House. Wish you well for this coming week.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast.